God bless you, Times Square Church. Do you hear what I hear? That's the title of our message this afternoon. I'm just going to read. You don't have to look it up. Luke 2, from verses 8 through 20. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, we just come before you and we ask, O God, for the grace to hear what you're speaking to us, O God. Father, you would preach and you would say, He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, we're asking for grace to hear what God is speaking to us in this hour. Father, open the eyes of our hearts, open the ears of our hearts, open the understanding of our hearts, dear God, and give us a deeper revelation of your majesty, your glory, and your power. And Father, we ask for the grace to walk in this truth. Ask for everyone who's struggling this afternoon, dear God, everyone who came in with a heavy burden, Father, we pray that today they would leave here rejoicing with a song of praise, a song of deliverance, a song of rejoicing, dear God, just like these shepherds, dear God, with a song, a testimony. Father, we pray that you make us Christmas carols in this season, dear God, wherever we walk, through our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our schools, wherever we go, dear God, in our family circle, God, you would make our life, our very testimony, a song that would bring praise and glory and honor to your name. We thank you for this, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Do you hear what I hear? I can imagine that during this season where the shepherds are beholding the majesty of these angelic beings, that I'm just speculating, but one of them probably turns to another one and says, Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Is this for real? And when the angel came and gave a message about a child being born, about a son being given, about a Savior being given in Bethlehem, they must have looked at each other and said, Are you hearing what I'm hearing? Probably this is where that Christmas carol was birthed. I'm not sure. But I know that sometimes you could be in the same room with somebody and hear something different. Did you know that? That there could be people sitting in Times Square Church hearing the same message you're sitting and yet hear it differently. And sometimes we twist the word to our own convenience. And we take a message and we just apply it to our needs. And we don't really hear what the Lord is speaking to our life and speaking to the church. And I tremble during this time of Christmas season where in the background, in every store, in every mall, that you hear Christmas music. You just hear it as background, just empty noise back there, and nobody's really paying attention. Everybody's into their shopping, into their stuff, you know, into their distractions and into the commercialism of the season. And I tremble at the fact that we can grow so familiar with the things of God that they could just become empty words. That we can grow familiar of coming here to a place like this and not be in awe and in awestruck wonder at the glory and the majesty of the God that we serve. I tremble and I say, God, give me ears to hear what you're speaking from heaven. Give me a heart to respond to you, to behold your glory. Open up heaven to me every time I come to worship with my brothers and sisters. I want to discern the body of Christ. I want to know who it is that I'm worshiping. I don't want songs to just be words. I don't want my hands to just go up and do routine things. God, I want a personal encounter with you every every time I meet with you. I don't want to rote prayer. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to hear what heaven is hearing. I want to speak what heaven is speaking. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
I don't want to just go through the motions and be just some background noise and come here and just speak something that just is Christian lingo, but meaning nothing to my heart. So I'm inviting you this afternoon to just come with me. Take a stroll through this, maybe the first live Christmas concert ever, where the heavenly stage just wraps itself around these shepherds in their fields and begins to sing heaven's glory. I want to ask you this afternoon, if you hear the songs that I hear, do you hear what the shepherds were hearing? I think the first song they heard was, God rest ye merry gentlemen. You know that one? God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing ye dismay. The angel said, fear not. I bring you good news. You know, Christmas time could be such a time of fear. There are probably some sitting in here this afternoon or listening through the recordings, and your heart is full of fear. You may be going through this season trying to scramble through the stores, and you realize you can't get the gift, that special gift that you want for that person. You know, and it's all, you should have started in March because they're gone. They laugh at you when they find out that you want one of these things, and they're just gone. There's such a demand for them, and you can't get that special gift for that person. Or maybe you're fearing that you can't find that special person that you want to give a gift to. Or maybe you're stressing out because you did get the gift, and now the credit card bill is coming and knocking at your door, and you know that you're going to have to pay this thing, and you're wondering why you got it. And sometimes fear comes knocking at our door for so many reasons. I could imagine if these angels said, fear not, there was fear in their heart. There would be no need to say fear not if there was no fear there. And the Lord is speaking to some of us this afternoon and saying, listen, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Don't fear answering the call. These shepherds knew that there was a call, a higher calling for them. Yes, they enjoyed the preaching. They enjoyed the word. They enjoyed the worship, the songs. They enjoyed it all, the display of heaven's glory. But they heard a call. They heard a call. There's a child. There's a Savior in Bethlehem. The angel didn't say it openly and verbatim, go to Bethlehem. But it says, you shall find. This is going to be a sign. You are going to find. So they heard that call. Whether directly or indirectly, they felt it burning within their soul. And there must have been fear. Can I answer this call? Can I draw nearer to the Savior? Can I approach the majesty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Fear of approaching Him, fear of surrendering to Him, fear of what He's going to ask me to give up, fear of going to this King and finding out that my life needs to change. Can I change first? Can I get it together first before I go over there? And the angel is saying, fear not. You don't have to fear. He's a Savior. He came to deliver you. He came to clean your act up. You don't have to worry about scrambling home to try to wash your shepherd's clothes and get your sandals all cleaned up and put away the dirty stuff and come to Him all washed up and presentable. You don't have to fear. He came to clean you. He came to wash you. He came to make you presentable to the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. He came to pay the price so that you and I could be presentable before the King. If we could somehow do it in our own strength, there would be no need for a Savior. Fear not. A Savior has come. A Savior has come. You don't have to get it together. You may be wondering, when am I ever going to get the victory? When am I ever going to pray enough or believe enough or do enough or serve enough or get the victory and be the dad that I'm supposed to be, the husband or the wife or the mom that I'm supposed to be? When? How am I going to get this together before I present myself to the King? Fearing like the little children who are expecting Santa Claus, but then wondering if they've been naughty or nice throughout the year. Listen, the Bible makes it clear. We've all been naughty. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. There's no debate about it. There's no list. There's no balance. Oh, I've done more good than evil. We've all fallen short, and we all need a Savior. And that's the good news. The Savior has come. For the religious and for the unchurched, for those who are born and raised in church and those who don't even know what a church is all about, the Savior has come. to make us presentable before a holy God. Come as you are. That's the invitation. You don't have to fear. You'll never earn enough merit to be able to be presentable before the King. There's such a wide gap between our sin and His holiness that we needed a Savior. We needed Jesus Christ to pay the price for our penalty. And He's not scrambling and stressing last minute shopping to see how He's going to make a way for you. He paid the price on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And even before that, before the foundation of the world, He already had a plan to make a way for you and me in the midst of a manger. He made a way for you on Mount Calvary. He paid the price. He bid the highest price for you and me who had been sold into slavery. And He bought us. He redeemed us with the price of His precious blood. For all of fallen humanity, He restores us with His blood. He releases us from bondage. He breaks open the prison doors. That's the good news. It's for you and for me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, those who are striving to get it right, those who are striving to be good enough for God, those who are striving to be all that God has called them to be. There's good news. Jesus paid the price. He paid it all for you and me. All we have to do is look to Him, run to Him, come to Him and say, Jesus, I need you. You're the Savior of the world. Save my life and make me what I can't make myself in your strength, not in mine. Hallelujah. We come like the drummer boy, having no gifts to bring that's fit to give a king, but we come with our hearts open to a Savior who changes us, who makes us, and gives us the gift of life that we could never pay for. He paid the price. He gave His life as a sacrifice. That's good news, my friends. That's good news of great joy. He doesn't need our promises to Him, saying, I'm going to be better this week. I failed last week, but I'm going to try harder. I ate a little bit during the Tuesday fast, but I promise I'm gonna fast all the way through on Tuesday. And feeling condemnation for these things. And He doesn't need your promises. He doesn't need our resolution saying, I'm going to write it down and put it on the refrigerator. I am going to be a man of God. I am going to be all that God is calling us to be. He doesn't need your promises. He doesn't need my resolutions. He came to fulfill His promises. He came because there was a resolution in His heart long ago, in the Father's heart, to redeem a fallen humanity, which includes you and me. Do you hear what I hear? I hear Him calling us to a deeper rest, a deeper trust, a deeper confidence in God, that God's got us and He's got everything under control. Do you hear what I hear? I hear maybe the second song of this concert was, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O Little Town of Bethlehem. We grow so familiar with those tunes. But you know, Micah, the prophet, says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Saying, amongst the thousands of cities and towns in Judah, much more popular, much more renowned than Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem, this little town of Bethlehem, out of thee is going to come, out of the most unlikely place is going to come the Savior of the world. Out of the city of David, behold, a Savior is born. Unto you this day, the angel said, in the city of David, a Savior is born. The most unlikely place. This is where it takes faith to believe in God. He could have been born anywhere. He could have been placed on any throne, in any palace, in any kingdom. But He chose to be born in a stable, among animals, and laid in a manger where the animals feed themselves. And it takes faith to believe that this is the King of Kings. The most unlikely place. And then He comes, He pays a price for you and me. He says, I've purchased you and I've come to abide in your heart, to live with you, to make your life a temple of the Holy Spirit, to come and make your heart a throne room of my grace. And we look at our hearts and all we see is a manger, a dirty, filthy manger. And we say, no way. This little town of Bethlehem, no way. These dead and dry bones, no way. How could it be that the master of the universe, the one who just spoke the worlds into order, now wants to dwell in me? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, do you hear what I hear? God is calling us to believe Him for the impossible. in all of your weaknesses, in all of your frailties, he knows them all of your failures, every thought you thought that was against his holiness, every word you did, every word that you spoke, every deed that you did, he knows it all. He knows the motives. He knows the intentions, even of the things that look good on the outside. But he knows the corruption of our hearts. And yet he says, I want to dwell with you. I want to be your God. I want to walk with you. I want to fill you. I want to make your heart my throne room of grace. And we say, no, how could it be that you would come to the lowest and the deepest and the darkest places of humanity and make it your throne and bring your glory and put it in an earthen vessel like me? Oh God, oh little town of Bethlehem, I believe you. I don't know if you hear what I hear, but God is calling me to believe him for the impossible, to behold his glory and majesty. This is no light thing, that God would come, Emmanuel, and God would choose to dwell with us, to dwell among us, to dwell in us. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that little puppet. I think his name is Nemo. He's so excited to see that puppet theater. And he comes, as it were, to church with such joy and such expectation. But when he reaches there, it's beyond his wildest imagination. He pushes, he strives to get through that door, like some of us have pushed and strived to get here today. But man, when we enter into his presence, oh, it exceeds our wildest expectations. The whole music changed. You know, when that little puppet goes in, it's like all of a sudden, woo. And he's like, whoa, this is awesome. I think God is drawing us into that wonder, into that awe, to behold how could a God so humongous, so majestic, so glorious come to dwell in our hearts. Do you hear what I hear? I hear the grace of God reaching down to the depths of humanity and the depth of our depravity, and saying, I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to redeem you. Yes, you're small. Yes, your strength is small. Yes, your abilities are probably not even there, but I will give you strength. I will make you rich in God. Even though you acknowledge your spiritual poverty. Do you hear what I hear? I hear a challenge to these shepherds to go, to leave their flocks of familiarity, that which they're used to, and to go and seek out the family of faith. There are some people that are just struggling with that. To plug into a church, to trust again, to be vulnerable again, to get involved in ministry. You come, yes, you're excited, you love the church, you love the worship, but ministry, I'm sorry, not there. And God is saying, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to become part of this family, to come seek out and leave that little comfort zone of familiarity and seek out the family of faith, because you're going to be a blessing to them and they're going to be a blessing to you. We hear it every Sunday night. You can't do this alone. You can't walk this alone. We're telling this to new believers that come up here to the altar, and yet there are people who have been here many years and trying to do this on their own. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to. It's not that somebody has spoken to me and shared something with me, but I know that I've received the word from God. And sometimes God is calling you to a deeper walk and to just trust God and say, you know what? I'm going to sign up for that ministry. If you want it to be, then you open the door, God. And if you don't want it to be, close the door. But God, there's something to do, somebody to bless, somebody to raise up, somebody to edify, somebody to encourage. And I want to be part of it. You look at your heart and you say, oh, I don't have what it takes. People in ministry, they're so sanctified. They're so on fire for God. I just don't feel that I could have anything to give. My friends, these were shepherds. They didn't smell that well. You know, and I don't know what their expectations were. We're going to go see the family of faith. Maybe they were expecting to see a Hallmark, you know, manger scene with the glows and the halos. The halos. You see a halo on my head over here. It's the shine. It's the shine of the boldness. It's not any Shekinah glory or anything like that. They may be judging us, you know. Said David Hand's got it a little bit. You know, he's got that. Maybe they were expecting to see some type of, you know, some just... you know, a mystical glory in that manger. But my friends, they just saw a manger. They just saw a manger and a simple family, probably going through doubts and fears themselves. Think of Joseph, what he could have been thinking. Think of Mary, all the doubts and fears. Is it just us having these visions of angels? We haven't heard of anybody else talking about angelic visitations. Who are we to be receiving angelic visitations telling us fear not? And yes, she's going to have a baby. And yes, he's the Son of the Most High. Maybe we're crazy. Maybe we've lost it. Going through struggles, going through questions in their mind. And all of a sudden, shepherds come. Shepherds come to share about them. We've seen angels. Angels opened up heaven and they stung about your son, and they told us we were going to find the baby just like this in a manger. Imagine the excitement, the edification, the encouragement that Mary and Joseph were receiving at that time. Sometimes we think of ministry as, what could I get out of it? My friends, we go into ministry so that God can use us, not because we have anything to give, but because he has something to give, and he chooses to give through human frail vessels. Shepherds, as it were, simple family, the simple family of faith. And you may have gotten into ministry and you didn't see the glow, and you didn't see the Shekinah glory over you. You saw certain things and certain people and personalities and individuals. This is not what I thought ministry was all about. I'm out of here. My friends, you stay where God has placed you. Be a blessing to those around you. If we were to look at our hearts and let everybody see what's in our heart, they would be like, I'm out of here as well. Thank God he doesn't expose everything that's in our hearts to everyone. Amen? One of the songs says, now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. And it's a strange way to glorify his name through a people like you and me. It's a strange way. And yet he chooses to do it. You and I are a strange people, a peculiar people, the Word of God says. Amen? A holy nation. And we're here not to act strange. I'm not saying that you're going to go and start acting strange. But it's a strange thing that God would choose to use feeble and weak vessels to bring glory and honor to his name. Behold the majesty of that. Do you hear what I hear? I hear Silent Night. And this song, not many people like this song. I would say none of us like it when we have to go through a silent night. When we go through from angelic visitation, open heaven, the glory surrounding us. It's like, can you imagine that? And all of a sudden, they're caught up into the heavens and they're gone. All of a sudden, silent night. You hear crickets. Cricket, cricket, cricket. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven. A dreadful time when the ravens stop and the brook dries up. When God had been providing and God had been showing up faithfully day after day, you got so used to it. You said, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Praise God. And all of a sudden, it changes. And you're like, God, are you there? Hello? Hello? Where's the manifestation that I used to know? Where's the feeling, the fuzzy feeling that I used to get when I used to go to church? Where is it? God, what's going on here? Silent night. And we're like, no more silent night. I don't want any silent night. And we don't hear him. We don't see him. Like we heard this morning, we don't see him in the fire anymore. We used to see him in the fire, and we try to work up the fire again so that he'll be there, because once we knew him in the fire, we knew him to visit us in the fire. So we try to make up fire, but yes, it's just a strange fire, and God doesn't show up in that. And we used to know him in the whirlwind and how he would manifest himself and blow everything from here to there. And we try to work up a whirlwind. We try to get busy and do, and we don't see him. We don't feel him in this. And the earthquake, and we don't see him in the earthquake, and we're gone, where are you, God? Where we cry out like the Syrophoenician woman, have mercy on my daughter. She's perishing. And it seems like Jesus is ignoring her and just walking his way. I don't know if some of you are there. You seem to be sinking. Water's getting in the boat. You're trying to row it. You're trying to make a way because you're a fisherman and you know how to do this thing. You've done this enough. You've been in Times Square Church for quite some time now. So you know how to get through this trial. But now it's getting harder than you ever thought. And Jesus just seems to be sleeping in the boat. And you're like, what is going on? Silent night. silent night. Your prayers don't seem to be answered. You're crying out for God. You're asking Him for a blessing for so long. And you'd say, what is it? Is there something in me that God just sees in me and He's rejected my prayer? My friends, He has heard your prayer. He chooses to bring us through silent nights because He wants to turn them into holy nights. God is a faithful God. He's always on the move. Whether we see Him or not, He's on the move. And the Word of God says that all things work together for good to those who love Him. He's doing something good in your life and in my life. Hallelujah. He's testing our faith. Faith needs to be tested, my friend. Easier said than done, right? But it's necessary so that that which is invisible to the natural eyes can become visible to our spiritual eyes. The Word of God says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So sometimes He has to go into the backdrop. Sometimes He has to close the heavens so that we can start walking in faith, not by sight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we can believe Him that even though the heavens may be out of our sight, we're never out of sight of heaven. Heaven's got, God has His eyes on us. And He's on the move. So we can keep asking, we can keep knocking, we can keep believing, we can keep seeking Him. He's working something out in our hearts. He's working something out in our life. He's working something out in our circumstances. And He's birthing a heavenly song. You see, these shepherds had heard the song of the angels. But by the end of the story, they're singing the song of the angels. Are you hearing? And sometimes it takes a while between the heavenly song and then the song becoming our song. Sometimes there's a big parenthesis in between. It's almost like the Bluetooth, you know, and you're trying, you have the device and you have Pandora and you're trying to download this, you know, this thing, and you got to go to settings and you have to go to, I don't know what, Bluetooth. And then this little speaker over here is going to make some sound. Boop. And then you're going to press certain buttons and then it's going to try to connect. And you see this little thing spiraling and you're like, man, why can't this just be faster? And then all of a sudden, bam, the music from this device becomes music through that device with a resounding sound, and you say, this is good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can tell what I just got for my anniversary, right? And sometimes there's a period where that connection is not made fully yet. And we're waiting, as it were, for the download of heaven, for the song of heaven to become our song, so that we can sing it in the workplace, so that we can sing it in church, so that we can sing it from Monday to Monday. We can sing it all day long. But be encouraged. Try to hear what I hear this afternoon. God is going to give you a song. You may be experiencing silence right now, but God is going to give you a song. He's not ignoring you. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. The testimony is going to be so much greater. When He does come through, it's going to pierce through the silence. And we're going to be shouting from the rooftops. I hear, oh, come, let us adore Him. In fact, I hear, oh, come, let us adore Him. Capital H-I-M. Underlined. Bold letters. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Yes, angels are awesome. Yes, the music was intense. Yes, the surround sound was amazing. I mean, it was getting in our bones. But we hear a higher calling. Do you hear what I hear? Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let us put our eyes on the only one who's worthy of all the praise, for He alone is worthy. We'll give Him all the glory. Oh, come, let us adore Him. This is no small matter. They were actually refusing to stop short at the angel scene to go to a manger scene. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They could have set up camp at the manifestation, but they chose to go and seek out the Messiah. You see, they say, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord, say the Lord. the Lord hath made known to us. He didn't say the angels made known to us. He didn't say the choir made known to us. He didn't say the preaching made known to us. The Lord has given us a word. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm hearing, but I'm hearing a group of shepherds that are refusing all the temptations, the inclinations of their flesh to stay in that place of glory, to stay in that place of wonderment and go the distance and say, I'm not stopping till I see him face to face. I want a personal encounter with this Christ. I don't want just church. I want to know him. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. I don't know if that cry is in your heart, but I hear the Lord speaking to us this afternoon saying, don't stop short. Don't stop short of the call to go all the way to Christ until he reveals himself as your personal Savior, as your personal Lord, as your personal all in all. The riches of heaven revealed to your poverty and to your need. They could have stopped at the messenger and said, wow, this messenger speaks with such angelic power. And you know, sometimes we can fall short and we could just elevate the speaker. Man, what an anointed speaker. Wow, this preacher. Have you heard this preacher? Have you heard that preacher? And we've got tapes and we've got recordings and we've got all this stuff, you know, and we want to pass it on, pass the word. And sometimes that's good and dandy if we're honoring Christ and we're bringing the word to people who need that word. But my friends, remember that messenger is pointing to Christ, the one who's worthy of all the glory. Be careful. Let's be careful of bringing glory to man instead of bringing glory to the Christ that man is speaking about. The melody. They could have stopped at the melody. They would have taken out, if it was today, they would have taken out their cell phones, their smartphones, started taking pictures, recording, you know, Shazamming the music and finding out if it had copyright. If not, they were going to get a copyright to it. My friends, they were looking to see how they were going to keep this thing and probably even manufacture and market this thing. I don't know. But they could have stopped short at the melody. They could have said, wow, we've never heard something like this. We've never heard something. And people come here and they see the choir and they hear the worship and they're just so astounded. My friends, if our worship just stops there, if our worship doesn't bring people into the very presence of the King, we've fallen short and we've failed you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we don't stop at the melody. We don't stop at just the praises and the worship. You know, I know you know what I'm talking about. We can bring somebody, an invited guest over from our workplace, and we're just thinking, man, I hope the choir sings this song, man. I just hope. And yet they sing the song that we did not want them to sing. We're like, oh, no, not that one. Not live higher, higher, higher. No, please. My coworker is not going to like this. And stomp Satan, Lord, no, don't do this. My friends, it's not the melody that's going to save them. It's the Christ, the King of the world, that's going to save you. It's going to save them. Jesus Christ, he's the only one. Amen. And I just think of these, what could have happened probably today if this would have occurred. And probably would have said, man, we've got something huge here. Forget about the manger. Let's hold on. Let's hold off a little bit. Wait a minute. Do you realize what we've just seen here? What this is like beyond extraterrestrial visitation. This is something. We've got to send this. You got it? You got it on your cell phone? We got to send this to CNN. We've got to send this to YouTube. We got to put this. It's going to go viral. It's an amazing thing. We can market it. And there are people who would want to market the things of the kingdom of God for personal gain. But my friends, it's no good. It's no good. It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to last. Just like the manna went bad in the wilderness, it's going to go bad because there's only one bread of heaven that satisfies the longing of our soul. There are some who just say, where was it? Where was it that they went up? The shepherds could have said, I think they went up in that spot. Let's go back to that spot and let's see if they come back down again and try to recreate, you know, that same feeling. And sometimes there are Christians that are living in the memory of the good old days. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't realize that God has the best days ahead of them. Yes, there were good old days, but these are the good old days for somebody who just came to Christ. And there's better days ahead for everyone who believes in him. How can we doubt that God is going to bring us more glory and show us deeper things in him? And sometimes we fall short and we just try to live on the memory, probably out of personal grief and what we're going through right now. And we just try to bring back what used to be. And we try to, man, if I could just bring back and do it. What were we doing when the angels came? What, you were on your knees. Okay, you had the shepherd. Hold it just like you held it, man. Maybe it's something, maybe it was something we can do and try to recreate the good old days, what happened before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's almost like somebody coming to me and says, brother, you prayed for me on the prayer line and God healed me. I just want you to know that. And I said, oh, thank you for the encouragement. And I said, wow, I remember praying for her and I prayed like this. And so now for every person that I pray for, I'm going to pray the same words because God came through and he healed that person. So he must work like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Trying to box God in and saying, if the angels came this way, then the angels surely are going to come back this way. So I got to seek when God has said, press on to Jesus. Don't stop short. Don't try to manufacture this thing. Don't try to make it or market it for your own convenience or for personal gratification. God has the best days ahead for you. Can you press on to Jesus? He's got something good for you. Oh, come, let us adore him, only him, nothing else, not some manifestation, but the one who gives the manifestation. It's all about him, for he alone is worthy. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel of who? The Lord came upon them. It was the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. The glory of who? The glory of the Lord shone around. It was all about the Lord. There was no need to stop there. No need to stay there. It was all about the Lord. What were they singing? Glory to God in the highest. Not look at us. Look at this manifestation. Look at how great we are. Look, hear the sound of our voices. But glory to God. He's the only one worthy of the praise. See, beholding angels can amaze us for a while. But when we behold him, he alters us forever. Beholding angels can cause us to wonder. But when we behold him, he causes us to worship. In true surrender. I imagine them hearing this. What child is this? Now they've made it to the manger and they see a simple child crying like a simple baby, doing what little babies do, and asking themselves, who is this child that the angels did speak of? Who is this child born of a virgin? Who is this child? What child is this? What child is this? And God opening their eyes and opening their ears. And now they're beginning to hear the heart of heaven saying, this is the King, the Christ, the everlasting Lord. This is the one promised from ages ago that angels sing about. This is the King of glory. This is Christ, the Messiah, the expected one, the one who's going to pay the price so that all humanity can be saved if they trust and they put their confidence in him. Their eyes are open to behold the majesty in the simple life of this child. Their hearts are open to a revelation of who's there. There's no great preachers expounding the theology of it all. There's just a revelation. This is God. This is God. Some people may be here this afternoon and you don't hear some great revelation. I'm not going into theology or the Greek or the Hebrew of anything. And you were expecting something intellectual. You were expecting something so deep, so convincing. And my friends, I apologize, but I don't apologize because Jesus Christ is here to enter into your heart, to open up your eyes, to reveal himself as the hope for your heart. He is what you have been longing for. He is the hope of the nations. He is the one who will get your family together. He is the one who will make you the man of God or the woman of God that he's always intended you to be. He is the one who will set you free from this bondage. No matter how many years you've tried to promise him that you are going to be better, you are going to do it, you are going to stop doing this or start doing that. And he's the one that says, I came to make a way. I made a way in that manger. I made a way on the cross. I made a way for you. If you would just come to me and believe in me, I will show you who I am. And you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am the hope of the nations. My friends, they receive this revelation and they begin to sing the final songs, joy to the world, joy to the world. They begin to sing, go tell it on the mountain. That song begins to just rise up within their heart. They can't contain it. They say, go tell it on the mountain. I'm going back. I'm going back. It says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Returned where? To the same fields, to the same flocks, to the same floods, to the rocks, to the hills, to the plains, repeating the sounding joy. They have received a revelation, and now they can't contain it. They can't keep it in. Now they must speak of what they have seen and what they've heard. They must proclaim the goodness of God, because God has opened their eyes. God has opened their ears, and they have seen heaven revealed to them in a little manger. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now they can't contain it. They go back to the very area where they used to work, to the very fields and friends and the very home that they have to go back to, the very workplace that you have to go back to, the schoolroom that you have to go back to, the environment you have to go back to. But you can go back with a testimony that you have seen, you have heard, you have tasted, and you can invite others. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. He has come to make a way even where there seemed to be none. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I hear? Will you stand this afternoon? I'm going to invite all those who want to hear but have had certain struggles in receiving this truth. Maybe you've put your eyes on man and the failures of man, and you're judging God because of how man has failed you. Today, it's God calling you. It's God calling you to a deeper revelation of Himself, to override every other voice that comes in, a deeper walk of faith and confidence in His promises, a deeper worship of surrender and trust. If that's you and you're struggling in your walk with God, and you just need a fresh revelation, a fresh revelation, you need heaven open to you. You're going through a silent night and you just can't take it anymore. You can't take more of silent night. You come and surrender that to Him and just say, God, give me faith. Even if it's to endure just tonight, another silent night. You're lonely. You're fearful. You could be in a crowded place, but nobody knows the loneliness but God and you. Come. God wants to minister to you. He wants to give you a song in the midnight hour. He wants to give you a song. If that's you, as the musicians play, I just invite you to come. Just come with an open heart. Just come like a child saying, God, I don't have anything to offer you. I make no promises, no claims. I'm not coming to make a promise that I'm going to serve you, because I've failed you so many times that I don't even dare speak that. But I come and I want you to give me a song. I want you to open up heaven to me. If that's you, the altar is open. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. While I was preparing this message, I heard the voice of Jesus saying, do you hear what I hear? So I ask you this afternoon, do you hear what Jesus is hearing? He hears your children coming back home to God. He hears sick people that are on your job rejoicing because you've prayed for them and they've been healed. He hears your marriage being restored. He hears waves of grace and mercy flooding the streets of New York City. And he hears the sound of revival. He hears a heavenly song sung through your testimony, sung through your life, sung through the peace that you're going to bring to your workplace and to your school and to your neighborhood. He hears that song. Even though you don't hear it right now, He hears it. And He wants you to enter into that song. He hears the loveliest Christmas carol He could ever hear. He hears a life that is trusting Him. A life that doesn't understand it all. A life that doesn't understand their circumstances. Doesn't have it all together. But comes to that manger. Comes to that family of faith. Comes to the cross. Comes to Jesus Christ. And says, God, I'm going to put my trust in you. That song blesses his heart. That song blesses his heart. We could sing, oh, holy night, till our throats are sore. But if our hearts are not trusting in Him, it doesn't bring pleasure to His heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And He hears the faith rising up in your heart, and He's pleased. And He hears the sound of people that know you asking, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why are you so happy? Why are you so rejoicing during this season? Why are you have a smile on your face and a song in your heart? Why don't you listen to the same news I'm listening to? Don't you see the stuff on the streets that's going on? Don't you know what's going on overseas? And he hears your testimony being sung through just a quiet voice that says, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. He's got it all under control. He hears this and his heart rejoices. Some people may try to X that testimony out, that song out of your heart. The enemy would love to just exit out like he tries to do with Christmas and put an X there. And he would try to make your song just some background sound, not even considered. But my friends, people are going to have to reckon with the people of faith. And God begins to move and rise up in our hearts. They're going to have to reckon with this testimony because it's God through us. It's not about us. So let me pray with you and just ask God for that song. Father, you are God. We can learn about you and know about you, but we're not content with that. We want to know you. We want to know you in such a way that when the boat is shaking and the boat seems to be sinking, we could be of good cheer and we could have peace and proclaim peace on earth, goodwill to men, because we know who's got our lives in the palm of his nail-pierced hands. God, we want to know you. Open our eyes, open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to receive you this afternoon, to receive salvation, deliverance, strength, the riches of heaven, all that we need to go through the trials that we're going through, Father. We pray that if there are any chains here at the altar, they break, they fall to the ground, even now as we pray. God, prison doors fly open, dear God. Habits to be broken off once and for all. Give them that testimony that you did it and that what you did in their life, you can do for anyone else that they share this with, Father. We thank you for this. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And now we say, oh, come, let us adore him. We want to adore you and only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.